Hello, my name is Sydney Stewart, the Elite Americas Analyst at Civiline, and today I am standing in for Ignacio Ayala, your normal host for What Just Happened. Today I am joined by Megan Sutcliffe, our analyst on the Middle East and Africa desk, to discuss what happened in Israel over the weekend. So Megan, what just happened?
Hi Sydney, thank you for having me. So on the 13th of April, very late at night, Iran announced that it had launched waves of drones, ballistic and cruise missiles towards Israel. This marks one of the first recorded incidents of a direct Iranian attack on Israel. And in total, we saw about 300 ordnances being launched. Given the advanced warning of this attack, almost all of the ordnance were intercepted by Israel, France, Jordan, the UK and the US using their various air defense systems throughout the region. That being said though, a few did make it through and they primarily targeted southern Israel. Interceptor debris seriously injured a miner in the Arad area in the southern district, and we also saw some very limited strikes on the Nevatim Air Force Base in Negev. This has marked a significant escalation in regional tensions and has increased risks of retaliation over the coming days.
So Megan, was this in relation to the ongoing Israel-Hamas war?
Broadly speaking, yes, but specifically, no. Iran has stated that this particular attack was in retaliation to an airstrike that occurred on a building adjacent to its embassy in Damascus in Syria about 2 weeks ago on the 1st of April. Our colleagues Noam Osfeld and Ignacio Ayala recorded a What Just Happened on this particular event very recently, and I highly recommend giving it a listen. Israel likely conducted this attack, which resulted in 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps losing their lives. And over the past few weeks, we've seen Iran stating that it would retaliate, and it seems that this was it. Of course, this strike on the embassy compound was in relation to the elevated tensions that we have seen in relation to the Israel-Hamas war, in the context of which Iran-backed militants in Lebanon and Syria have significantly escalated targeting of Israel, and it was because of this that Israel conducted the strike, allegedly, in Damascus. Given all of these elevated tensions, it was likely that we were going to see some kind of interaction like this. But what I'm particularly interested in, Sydney, is the US's involvement in Israel's response. We know the US were key in detecting the drones and the missiles as they moved towards Israel and in intercepting several of them. Why did the US respond in this way?
The short answer is that the US maintains a very firm commitment to the defense of Israeli territory. Overall, Israel remains a longstanding political and economic ally of the US in what is a highly volatile region. And moreover, Iran remains a threat to U.S. troops and military assets throughout the region by its network of proxies that have attacked U.S. troops and assets in Iraq and Syria repeatedly, especially since the outbreak of the Israel-Hamas war last October. So the U.S. has a vested interest in curbing Iran's destabilizing activities. Also, in terms of the domestic politics of this, both parties in the U.S. Are extremely committed to the alliance with Israel. Obviously, this has seen some strain, particularly about the provision of military aid related to Israel's operations in Gaza. But nonetheless, Israel remains a firm political and security partner of the U.S. Where this picture gets a little bit more hazy is shifting support among young Democratic voters in the U.S. in particular. We've seen some quite substantial shifts in their preferences since the war began, most notably among voters 18 to 29, 76% view Palestinian people favorably, while only 42% view Israeli people favorably. Moreover, only 12% of adults under 30 approve of Biden's handling of the war. So while this particular incident is not a direct result or directly related to hostilities in the Israel-Hamas war, it very much relates to public opinion regarding Israel and public polling ahead of the vote in November, where Biden will potentially lose substantial support and very critical support among the young Democratic voting bloc, which he really needs to turn out in swing states, especially Michigan in particular. But enough about the why. What are the next steps here, Megan? How is Israel going to respond to this?
My goodness, that is the question on everyone's lips. So there are several options on the table at the moment, all of which have various levels of risk, but also probability. The option that we are all relatively concerned about, of course, is the possibility of direct Israeli strikes on Iranian territory. Our assessment at the moment is that this remains a relatively unlikely outcome. There is significant pressure on Israel, both from the international community, but also from key partners like the United States, to not escalate this situation further. A war between Israel and Iran would be cataclysmic and have severe implications for regional security, but also regional political stability and economic stability. And so there's significant pressure on both parties to rein in these tensions before they reach the point of no return. In the unlikely event that we did see an Israeli direct strike on Iran, however, our assessment is that at present, Israel would likely seek to primarily target small-sized institutions associated with the military of moderate importance and would likely provide significant amounts of warning in order to moderate damage done to these particular installations. Strikes on civilian population centers, particularly significant population centers like Tehran, remain highly unlikely. And we also continue to evaluate that direct strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities remains highly unlikely, as this would almost certainly engender a significant regional escalation, as well as substantial risks associated with nuclear instability. Therefore, given that this is the most unlikely outcome from our perspective right now, we have been evaluating what other paths Israel may seek to go down. The first of which is that we do believe there's a realistic possibility of Israel scaling up covert efforts to sabotage or disrupt operations associated with key Iranian industries such as oil extraction, the Iranian military and its operations both within Iran and in the broader region, or to target and attempt to disrupt uranium enrichment practices at nuclear facilities. These could take the forms of espionage operations, sabotage operations, or of course, cyber attacks, and would be a more indirect way of responding to Iranian hostility without potentially opening up a front with Iran. Another avenue that we think Israel will likely choose to go down is escalating strikes on Iranian proxies in Lebanon and in Syria, as well as potentially conducting new strikes on Iranian proxies in Iraq. This would allow Israel to address the security risks that it faces on its borders, both in Lebanon and Syria, as well as taking an indirect stance against Iran, limiting its capacity to project its influence throughout the region without potentially committing to a serious escalation. As such, we are anticipating that an increase in IDF strikes in Lebanon, Syria, and potentially Iraq, potentially coordinated with the United States, is likely over the coming days and weeks. Based on that, I then have a question for you, Sydney, which is, how is the US likely to respond to this? Its concerns about Iranian security have certainly not gone away. What steps is the US likely to take over the coming days?
So in addition to US support for targeting of Iran-backed militias in the region, the Biden administration and Congress are likely to enact punitive economic measures against Iran. Just today, the House of Representatives voted on several bills that aim to strengthen sanctions on Iran. One of these bills is the Iran-China Energy Sanctions Act, which aims to reduce Chinese imports of Iranian crude. This would impose restrictions on accounts in the U.S. that are implicated in Chinese financial institutions' purchase of Iranian petroleum products. It also seeks to expand secondary sanctions involving Iran so that they encompass all transactions between Chinese financial institutions and sanctioned Iranian banks. They're involved in the purchase of petroleum. There was another bill, the Revoke Iranian Funding Act, which was also proposed. So there's a slate of legislation in Congress that is likely to be enacted. Moreover, Congress is also expected to pass a standalone military aid bill for Israel this week. This is bolstered by commentary from House Speaker Mike Johnson, who committed to proposing such a bill and ensuring its passage this week. This is quite notable because there have been two prior attempts where such a bill has been shot down by Congress. Moreover, at the end of March, the Biden administration extended a $10 billion sanctions waiver that enables Iran to have continued access to hard currency from Iraq's electricity purchases from Iran. President Biden has already faced strong criticism at the time that they extended this at the end of March prior to the attack. So this criticism is likely to come back, as it already has, and he faces mounting pressure to suspend this waiver. There's a realistic possibility that this will be enacted, which will have probably quite substantial impacts on Iraq's access to electricity and will likely face subsequent energy security risks. Nonetheless, the Biden administration is likely to urge other allies, including G7 and European allies, to go along with them in enacting stringent sanctions to restrict Iran's funding and therefore its destabilizing activities in the region.
So increasing sanctions, increasing strikes, it seems we may be looking at a bumpy ride over the coming weeks.
Absolutely, as it often is.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of What Just Happened. Please do be sure to check the show notes to find links to our other podcasts. And do check out our other episodes that can be found on your favorite podcast streaming platforms. Follow us on any social media platforms to receive the latest updates. And we look forward to meeting you again when we ask, What Just Happened?